The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Why did Jesus say that we need to forgive others in order to be forgiven? What is fellowship forgiveness? Let's think about this a little bit today on Grace in Focus, and we're delighted that you're joining us today. This is the radio and podcast division of the Grace Evangelical Society, and you can know more about us by going to our website, faithalone.org. We have many articles there that you can view, and we have some books that you can acquire, and we also have an online seminary that you can find out more about. It's called GES Seminary, so stop by our website today, take a look at these things. It is faithalone.org. Now, with today's question and answer discussion about forgiveness, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
All right, we have another question from Susan, one of our YouTube viewers.
Okay.
And she's asking about a specific part of the Lord's Prayer. This is in Matthew 6, verse 12. And the verse is, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors."
Or some translations, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us."
Yes, "Forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us." And Susan asks, "I thought we had been forgiven. I thought unforgiveness, being a sin, was under the blood."
Okay, I think it's important to recognize, except from some extreme grace people, we might call them hyper-grace, pretty much everybody in Christianity believes in something called fellowship forgiveness. And that is, as we are living the Christian life, we need ongoing daily forgiveness. 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And if we do not confess our sins as we're living the Christian life, then we are not going to be forgiven in a fellowship sense. And the basic argument here is a believer, once they believe, has everlasting life. They're secure forever. But whether they're in fellowship with God depends on, A, walking in the light, 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And B, we need to confess our sins, 1 John 1:9. Then he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we confess the sins we're aware of, which, you know, obviously is the tip of the iceberg. We don't get most of the stuff we do that's wrong, but we confess that which we recognize. And then he forgives us and cleanses us from everything, even the things we didn't remember to confess or didn't realize to confess. But there are some hyper-grace people who say, no, there is no such thing as fellowship forgiveness. At the moment of faith, all of our sins are forgiven, past, present, and future, even in a fellowship sense. I was in a church once where the pastor taught that, and some of these people say that it's legalistic to confess your sins, that it's dishonoring to God to confess our sins because they're already forgiven. Well, that creates a problem with 1 John 1:9, right? But it also creates a problem with Matthew 6:12. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
Yeah.
Or forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against.
If everything's forgiven, why are we asking again to be forgiven?
Right. I think we need to recognize that the position that says believers are always in fellowship with God is just plain wrong. We don't have to just go to 1 John 1:9 or 1 John 1:7, but we can look at all kinds of verses. For example, Luke 15. With the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. All three of those are examples of believers who stray, and then they need to repent to get back in fellowship with God. But 1 John is talking about believers who are walking in fellowship. And when we're walking in fellowship, we can stay in fellowship if we keep confessing our sins. Repentance only becomes necessary when we stray away from the Lord. Like James 5, 19 and 20 talks about if a believer strays, they wander from the truth, and one of us turns them back, we save his life from death, and we cover a multitude of that person's sins. So if a believer is off, we, other people, the ones who are in fellowship with God, need to try to bring that brother back. The same thing is found in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. "You who are spiritual, restore such a one So God can use believers who are in fellowship with God to bring other believers back in fellowship. But the idea that all believers are always in fellowship, which is what's underlying Susan's question, is just flat out wrong. Ultimately, then, you would hold the idea that there's no need to confess our sins. There's also no need to walk in the light, other than, I guess they would say, if you walk in the darkness, you're going to experience pain and suffering in this life. So if you want fullness of life, you better walk with the Lord. But it has nothing to do with whether he's in fellowship with you or not.
So can you distinguish between fellowship and everlasting life? Like, what's the difference when you say, if we're out of fellowship, what happens? We have some sort of barrier with our relationship with God? Or
yeah, I mean, that's a really good point. Once we believe in Christ, we have everlasting life. And as Dr. Ryrie liked to say, if everlasting life could be lost, it's got the wrong name. Remember, Jesus said in John 11:25, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And then he explained those two parts, the resurrection and the life. This is one of seven I am statements in John's gospel, and this one's compound. So there's two parts. As the resurrection, he says, he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. This is the guarantee that the believer will be raised from the dead, glorified, and in the kingdom. As the life, he said, he who lives and believes in me shall never die. That's saying once a living human being believes in Jesus, he's never going to die spiritually. He has the life. He has everlasting life. That's not the same as speaking of forgiveness or fellowship. Fellowship with God requires we walk in the light and confess our sins.
It's coming. It'll be here before you know it. What am I talking about? The Grace Evangelical Society's National Conference 2025, May 19th through 22nd at Camp Copus, an absolutely beautiful campground in North Texas, right on the lake with lots of recreation, great food, a great place to stay, wonderful fellowship, and wonderful free grace Bible teaching. Information and online registration now at faithalone.org/events. First-timers waive registration fees. faithalone.org/events.
Fellowship with God requires we walk in the light and confess our sins. A person, once they have everlasting life, they've got it forever. But everyone starts the Christian life in fellowship with God. I think that's what Acts 10:43 is saying. Whoever believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins. At the moment of faith, we start out the Christian life in fellowship with God. But to stay there, we've got to walk in the light. We've got to confess our sins. And this theme of fellowship with God runs all through the epistles. And in 1 John, it's called abiding in him. We need to abide in him in order to have fellowship with him.
Getting back to Susan's question, how does the forgiveness being contingent on forgiving others, how does that work together?
I think the basic answer is if we are walking in the light, then we acknowledge the darkness. When we see any darkness, any sin in us, then we confess it. Well, part of that would be if we're unforgiving to another brother or sister, then we would have to confess that. And we would ultimately willfully forgive them. Even if we don't feel like forgiving them, we would forgive them. We would acknowledge to the Lord, Lord, I forgive them, and we would even tell the person. If you were to refuse to do that, well, then you would be disobeying the Lord.
So I guess part of confessing your own sins is also being willing to forgive others of what you think they've done to wrong you.
Right. I like to pray the Lord's Prayer as kind of a coat hanger that's hanging the various parts. So when I'll say, Our Father in heaven, I'm thinking of God as Father, not simply as Creator, as Sovereign, but He's also loving Father, and I think He is in the third heaven. Hallowed be Thy name. And then I like to think of some aspects of God, for example, that He's eternal, and praise Him for that. Your kingdom come, I like to think, Lord, yes, I do want your kingdom. Lord Jesus, come quickly. It's interesting he calls it your kingdom, the Father's kingdom, but yet it's Jesus' kingdom too. And he says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I don't think he's saying right now, that would be nice, but that's not what we're praying for. We're praying for the kingdom to come so that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then give us this day our daily bread, I think, which is a recognition everything we have comes from the good hand of the Lord. And then forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Well, this reminds me, if there is anyone that I have some sort of an attitude problem with, okay, I need to deal with it now. And don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. That I'm remembering that, yes, he is the one that is in control. He is the glorious one. He is the powerful one. And any glory that I'm going to have is delegated from the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. So, yeah, in terms of this prayer, I think it does tell us that part of walking in the light is forgiving others. How can we say we're walking in the light if we're hating our fellow brother or sister? If you read 1 John, no one who hates his brother can say that he has eternal life abiding in him. Of course, eternal life there refers to Jesus. Jesus isn't abiding in me if I'm hating my brother or sister. And so, ultimately, this is about loving our brothers and sisters. And by the way, forgiving them doesn't mean we forget. In other words, there's lots of things that in my family growing up that, you know, my father in particular hurt me, but I forgive him. Mm-hmm. And I forgave him while he was alive. And I have loving attitudes when I think about my father, and I knew he loved me. But the truth is there were lots of things I had to forgive him for. And I do, but that doesn't mean I forget.
Yeah.
I still remember those things, and they're things that God used in my life to, you know, ultimately make me the person I am today. But no, God forgives us and we forgive others, but it doesn't mean we have to forget. It doesn't mean we have to like it.
Yeah. I mean, God obviously remembers everything he forgives us for, right?
And we remember those things that, well, we don't always because we get forgetful. Hopefully we forget it. But we often remember things we've forgiven other people for.
Right. And it does change our behavior sometimes.
Yeah.
You may have forgiven someone who stole $20 from you, but that may mean I'm not going to leave $20 sitting on the coffee
exactly.
table.
Exactly. Exactly. Even if that's your own son.
Right, right.
You're like, I forgive you, son.
But I'm going to be a little more careful in the future.
Yeah, yeah, right? Exactly.
Very good. All right. Well, thank you, Bob. And thank you, Susan, for that question. And let's all
keep grace
in focus.
We would love to know where you are when you are listening to us. Please take a short minute to send us the call letters of this station and the city where you are listening, and how many times a week you listen. Thank you. You will be helping us with our stewardship. Send it to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. On our website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Now we hope you have a great weekend. We encourage you to be in a Bible teaching church with other believers, and then come back and join us for another episode on Monday. Until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.